All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm excited to be here tonight. Thank you, Pastor, for having me here this evening. Before I get into the preaching here tonight, I have been asked to present a ministry to you here this evening. I don't know how many of you have heard about this or how many have not, but it's the KJV RVG mobile application. How many of you have heard about that before? All right, so there's a good number of you that have already heard about that, and that's great. And this KJV RGV mobile application is something that we are working on to try to get the gospel into all the world. And so we are creating audio plans of salvation, and we are creating as many as possible in as many languages as possible to be able to put the Bible as well with a plan of salvation into every language that we can possibly get it in to spread the gospel across the world. And you know, the Bible does tell us, of course, in Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter number 13 as well, that before the end times, one of the things that would take place is that the gospel would be published in all nations, the Bible says. And I believe that this is part of that work. And so we are looking, of course, looking for people that can help us with that. But as well with this this Bible application, it also is something that can be a great tool to Christians as well, to those who are already saved, because it not only has a Bible on there with the plan of salvation, but then it also has music on there as well. It has, I believe, Faithful Word Baptist Church's hymns on there, as well as the Psalms and some other things on there as well. And in the future, we are looking at also putting on there the preaching from all these different churches that you see represented here, of course. And so you'll be able to go onto this one application and you'll have the Bible, you'll have music, you'll have the plan of salvation, you'll have hard preaching right there, all in one application that you can download, that you can put on your smartphone, whether it's an Android or an iPhone. And so this is something that we have been working on, and many of us have been working hard on over the last several months here. In fact, it just rolled out here this last week. It was rolled out. And so you can go on there and you can download that onto your phone. And some of the things that we are looking for is we are looking for people who are able to speak another language. And so if you can speak a language, maybe this is something that you'd be interested in, helping to get the gospel across the world. And if you are able to speak a language, we could set people up with their own ways, their own microphones and everything, to be able to record audio versions of the Bible so we can get the Bible into as many languages as possible. And so also there are some other things that we're looking at doing as well with the app. Also, we're looking at doing a app for each church. So there would be a Faithful Word Baptist Church app, there'd be a Verity Baptist Church app, there'd be a Faith Baptist Church app, and so on, that you could go on there and you could get the preaching from that church as well as other things. And there are other exciting things that we're looking at as well with that. And so I would encourage you, maybe you don't speak another language, but maybe you would like to, you know, be able to be a part of that. Of course, this type of thing does cost money. And so if you could donate to that, of course, we would definitely appreciate that. And I would just like to encourage you to get involved in that so that we can get the gospel to the entire world. All right, well, let's take our Bibles here this evening and let's go ahead and go to Numbers chapter number 1, and let's go ahead and get started here this evening. By the way, if you would like to know more information about that, Brother Colin Schneed, who's sitting right over here in the front, he is the team lead for that. And so if you want more information, he can explain those things in detail to you very, very well. He knows it very, very well. And if you want to, you know, get hooked up, if you speak another language, go see Brother Colin. He can help you out with that. So Numbers chapter number 1 here tonight. Let's go ahead and get into the message here this evening. So in Numbers chapter number 1, go ahead and look towards the beginning, back towards the beginning of the chapter in verse number 1. Numbers chapter number 1, verse number 1. And the Bible says this right there. It says in verse number 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And what I want to preach on here tonight is being numbered with those that go to war. And of course, I'm going to make a spiritual application from this here this evening. You know, this is something that's kind of personal to me, because in the last year, this was a decision that I had to make myself, that I had to stand up and be numbered with those that are going to war. I remember last year around this time when the Red Hot Preaching Conference was going on, and I remember watching it, you know, from New Orleans, Louisiana, and seeing the things that were going on, the protesters that were out there. And over the last several years, of course, I know shortly during this year, you know, Pastor Anderson promoted some of my preaching, and people started asking, you know, who is this guy? Where did he come from? I mean, it just seemed like, I guess, I came out of nowhere. But over the last couple of years, you know, I had to make a choice, because I grew up in the IFB. I was born and raised in the IFB. I was in the IFB from the time that I was in my mother's womb. My parents both graduated from Hiles Anderson College. And so I was born and raised in it, taught those things like the pre-tribulation and Zionism and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? Those things never made a whole lot of sense. And over the last couple of years, I was on a spiritual journey where I had to make a choice. Do I keep preaching what I've always been taught, knowing that it's wrong, or do I stand up and proclaim the word of God and preach it with boldness? And for me, there was no choice, because the choice that I had to make was to stand up. It was either I shut up and sit down and let another man with guts get up in the pulpit and preach the word of God, or I was going to proclaim the word of God as loudly and as hard as I could. And so this is what I want to do tonight, is I want to encourage you to stand up and to be numbered with those that go to war. And there may be some preachers out there tonight that are listening over the live stream, or they're going to listen over the YouTube, and they believe like we do. And they may have the beliefs that we hold to, but they've not stood up. They've not started speaking out on YouTube. And so I want to encourage them that you are needed in the fight, because there is a war that is going on. There is a battle that is being waged, and the old IFB is going to die. If you look at the old IFB here tonight, if you were to go into their churches, you don't see what you see here tonight. What do you see in the old IFB? You see a lot of older heads, but you don't see the young people in those churches. I mean, where are they? Like Brother Manley was describing the other night, I grew up in the IFB, and I watched generation after generation, class after class in my Christian school, that as soon as they hit 18, they got out of the Christian school, they were gone to the world, they were gone to the devil. And why was that? I mean, what was causing that? Well, it's because the IFB has gone soft on preaching, has gone soft on the word of God, and they're not taking stands upon what the word of God says. And because they're laying back, their children are going to the devil. Now, let's get into the word of God here tonight. One thing that I see here that we're going to look at here in the word of God, there's two groups that we're going to see in the Bible here tonight that were numbered. This first group that we just read about here in the book of Numbers, these were those that had come out of the land of Egypt, and they're on their way into Canaan, and they had to be numbered to go forth to war. Now, this group here, we know if you've studied your Bible, read your Bible, you know that this group, they didn't make it into the promised land, did they? They sure did not. They did not make it into the promised land. And what was the reason that they did not make it into the promised land? Because of unbelief. Because they did not believe God. Now let's look at some other places in the Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 9 and look at verse number 23. See what the word of God has to say there. Deuteronomy chapter number 9 And look at verse number 23, Deuteronomy chapter number 9. Look down at verse number 23. Look what the Bible has to say. Deuteronomy chapter number 9, verse number 23. And the Bible says this: "Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, 'Go up and possess the land which I have given you,' then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you." You know what I'm going to see? What we're going to see with this old IFB movement is that they will, I do believe, that they will be destroyed of the Lord if they don't start doing right. In fact, I think that's biblical. If you read the book of Revelation, in the first chapter there, in the first two chapters, Jesus Christ starts talking about and telling them to repent and to do the first works, or else I will come against thee and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place. Now, what does it mean that he's going to remove their candlestick out of his place? Well, if you look back in chapter number 1, who's the candlestick? Well, the Bible says it's the churches. And I think what we are seeing in this nation today is we are seeing church after church that are closing in this nation. And why is that? Because they have not believed God. If you start showing them the passages of the Word of God, they don't want to believe it. And it's amazing, the average person that's sitting in the pews that's saved, they believe it, don't they? I mean, if you show it to the average person that's sitting out there, you show them what the Word of God says, they believe the Word of God. But it's these preachers who are too prideful or too fearful to stand up for the Word of God. And listen, let me tell you, there's some thoughts that go through your mind, such as what went through my mind when I came to these conclusions and saw that I was wrong on some things in the Word of God. You know, the devil starts putting some things in your mind, or maybe it's just your flesh that does it. You start having thoughts because you know that if you start preaching the Word of God, you're going to lose your friends. You know that you're going to be ostracized. You know that the independent Baptist mafia is going to come after you, and they're going to persecute you, and they're going to come against you as much as they can. And like Pastor Anderson talked about last night, they will hate you, is what we saw last night. Now look back at what the Bible says. In fact, let's look at some other scriptures. Go to Psalms chapter number 78 and look what the Bible has to say there. Psalms chapter 78. And look at verse number 20. Psalms chapter number 78 and verse number 20. See what the Word of God has to say there. Psalms chapter number 78 and verse number 20. And the Bible says this in Psalms chapter number 78 and verse number 20. The Bible says, Psalms 78 verse number 20, "Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation, so that they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not his wondrous works." Now, it's amazing, the children of Israel, you read about them in the Old Testament and all the things that they saw God do. I mean, they came out of the land of Egypt. They saw the plagues that God rained down there in Egypt. They saw the Red Sea parted and they walked across on the dry ground. They saw God who led them by a pillar of fire by night and by a cloud by daytime. They saw the water that came out of the rock. They saw the manna that God gave to them. They had the quail that God gave to them when they murmured about the manna. manna, and yet they still did not believe God. God promised them, hey, if you'll just believe me, if you'll just follow me, if you'll just go into the land, I'll send the hornets in before you to drive out the inhabitants of the land. But they despised the word of the Lord. They rejected the word of God because they believed not his word. They had the blessings of God, yet they did not believe it. They saw all these things, yet they did not believe it. You know, that reminds me of something. You know, Jesus said, if you believe not me, believe what? Believe the works, right? That's what Jesus Christ said. And you know why this generation won't believe that? Hey, if you don't want to believe me, if you don't want to believe Pastor Anderson, if you don't want to believe Pastor Jimenez, you don't want to believe these other men of God, well, believe us for the works. Because this group right here is doing more works for God than the IFB is doing at all in this world. I mean, you can't name me one church out there that has the soul-winning going on that Pastor Anderson's church does. You know, that's one of the things that led me and helped me to understand that this man was a man of God. Because that man's church is seeing more souls saved than any of these independent Baptist churches that are running in the thousands. I mean, you're running in the thousands, yet you only have one soul-winning time a week. You're running in the thousands, yet you only have a group of 20 or 40 people going out soul-winning. I mean, it is sad what is going on in these independent Baptist churches. And because they have not believed God, even though they had the blessings of God, even though God's hand had been upon them, yet they've not believed God, they will be destroyed. That's right. And why will they be destroyed? Because the Bible says, my people shall be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Look back at what the Bible says. In fact, let's look at some other scriptures. Let's go to Psalms chapter 106 and look at verse number 23. And in a couple moments, we'll really get going here in the message here tonight. Look at what the Bible says, Psalms chapter 106. Look down at verse number 24 and see what the Bible has to say there. Psalms 106 and verse number 23. Let's start right there. The Bible says this, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, notice this, they despise the pleasant land. How did they despise it? You see, God had promised them the Canaan land, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. He was going to provide for them. He was going to lead them. He was going to fight their battles for them. Yet they despised the pleasant land. How did they despise it? Because they believed not God. Look at what the Bible says there. They believed not his word, but they did what? But murmured in their tents. Now, doesn't that kind of sound like the independent Baptists? They don't want to believe God, and they just want to stand around, and they want to murmur against Pastor Anderson. They want to murmur against our group of independent Baptists. They want to murmur against our movement. Hey, why don't you get excited? But you see, they'd be happy if we were pre-trib, and if we were Zionists, and if we just let the whole world go to hell, they'd be happy with it. Now, listen, shouldn't it be the other way around? I mean, listen, if you're wrong on the time of the rapture and you're wrong on the Jews, I could care less if you're out there soul winning, if you're out there leading people to the Lord, if you're out there having compassion for the lost. But these churches, you know what they're doing? They're replacing soul winning with other things, aren't they? They want to have other kinds of works. They want to go on their little missions trip and they want to build a water well, or they want to build some kind of building for people. They want to have some kind of vacation Bible school and dress up as superheroes for the children out there. And listen, that stuff is wicked as hell. I mean, listen, we have a generation today, my generation, that grew up with the Xbox and grew up with the PlayStation and grew up with all these games, and now there are men in their 20s, their 30s, even in their 40s, that when they get home from work, they go and they sit down on their lazy rear ends, and they get in front of the TV, and they start playing their video games. Hey, the Bible tells me that when I became a man, I put away childish things. Listen, those things were for children, and when I was a child, I may have enjoyed those things, but guess what? It's time to put those things away. Because we've got work to do. We've got labor to do. We've got things to get done for God. And we don't need to be fantasizing about Spider-Man or Superman. But that's exactly what this generation does, don't they? I mean, look at all these movies that are coming out now. And what are they? I mean, there's the Spider-Man movie, the Superman movie, the Batman movie. I don't even know them all. But all these movies coming out, why are they coming out? Why are they just showing these kinds of movies now? Because this generation still wants to pretend that they are children. And they're not getting engaged in the Word of God because they're still children who are tossed to and fro with every strange wind of doctrine. Look back at what the Bible says. In fact, let's go ahead and look at something here. The Bible also says this. Look down at verse number 24. The Bible says, yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. You know what this generation is doing today? They're despising the pleasant land. God wants to bless them. God wants to use them. God wants to do things through them. But they have despised the things that God has for them. They've despised the manna. They've despised the water that came out of the rock. They've despised the promised land that is there in front of them. And as Pastor Anderson said the other night, the promised land is wherever God's people is, isn't it? We don't care about some piece of land over on the other side of the country. Hey, I want to be with God's people. I want to be with a bunch of homo reprobates over there. I want to be with the people of God doing the work of God. But this generation here today, they despise the pleasant land. They despise the things of God. Look back at the Bible. Let's get into this here this evening. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and look at what the Bible has to say there. I'm sorry, not 1 Chronicles. Let's go to Numbers 26 first. Numbers chapter number 26. See what the Bible has to say there. We see another group there this evening. What we saw there first in Numbers chapter number 1 kind of reminds me of the old IFB. Those that were numbered to go forth to war. And listen, I am thankful for those that did right, for the generations that came before us, for the battles that they fought, for the battles that they won, for the things that they stood on. I'm thankful that there were men that stood on the King James Bible. I'm thankful that were men that stood up and proclaimed that loudly and took a hard stand against sin. But that's not the IFB of today. Look back at what the Bible says, Numbers chapter number 26. And look down at verse number 2. This is the next group that gets numbered. This reminds me of us. Look at what the Bible says. Numbers chapter number 26. Look down at verse number 2. And the Bible says this. Numbers 26 verse number 2. Take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war. And Moses and Eleazar the priest spake with them in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, take the sum of the people from 20 years old and upward, as the Lord commanded Moses and the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt. Now let's skip on down. We're not reading this entire chapter. Let's go down to verse number 63. Go ahead and go on down there. Verse number 63. And the Bible says this in verse 63. These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and there was not left a man of them. Now, what have we seen constantly as we've already read these scriptures? That God said he would destroy them, did he not? What makes you think he would not destroy people today? What makes you think that if a people leave off from serving him and stop obeying him and stop following his word, that he would not destroy them today? And that's exactly what we're seeing. Continue reading there. The Bible says, verse 65 again, for the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and there was not left a man of them save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Now think about this. Out of that entire generation, how many were left? Out of the entire generation that had come before, that were numbered to go forth to war, and there were thousands of them that were numbered to go to war, and how many are left? Just two are left that had believed God. And these are the only two that are allowed to go forth into the promised land. And God works a miracle with them. Caleb was a man that God spared him. And when he goes into the land, he was as strong then when he was older as he was 40 years earlier when he was numbered to go forth into the land. And listen, I have some hope out here tonight that maybe there's some Calebs out there. Maybe there's some Joshuas. Maybe there's some men that are left over from the old IFB, that are left over from the other generation, and maybe they will stand up and start preaching the Word of God. But take a warning that if you don't start preaching the Word of God, some young punk is going to replace you. I mean, there's going to be somebody that comes along that God is going to put in your place because you have despised the pleasant land, you've rejected the Word of God, and in fact, you've scattered the sheep of God. You see, there's only two groups of Christians in this world tonight. There are those that are gathering the flock, and there are those that are scattering the flock. There's only two kinds of pastors in this world. There are those that are gathering the flock and those that are scattering the flock. And if you're not preaching the entire counsel of the Word of God, you are going to scatter the sheep. And isn't that what we see in this world? Don't we see this world in our generation, my generation, being scattered to the wolves? And listen, I grew up in a Christian school, graduated from a Christian school, and my graduating class, we had 12 kids in my class. You know how many of us are still serving God? Two of us, including me, out of 12. Now, that's not very good odds. You say, Brother Joe, was it like that with every class? It sure was. Every class that came up, that graduated out of that Christian school, they went to the devil, they went to the world. And why was that? Because there was a lack of emphasis of the Word of God in the church and in the home. You know what? The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is essential to your lives. The Word of God is essential to your spiritual life. And if you don't get into the Word of God, you don't put it in your heart, you don't hide it in your heart, you don't hide it in your mind, then you will be given over to the devil. And that is exactly what has happened to this world. And if you don't get into the Word of God, you'll not believe the Word of God. Look back at what the Bible says. In fact, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And look at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And look at verse number 1. See what the Word of God has to say. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And verse number 1. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And verse number 1. So I want to encourage you here tonight. Maybe you're on the fence. Maybe you've not decided where you need to go, where you need to come down. You need to make a choice. It's time to choose sides. Listen, you need to get into the best church that you can find. And if there's not one that's close to you, you need to drive to one, like the man was saying earlier. Or maybe you need to move your family to where a good church is. Hey, is it so strange that we would move our families somewhere for their spiritual good? I mean, listen, what doth it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And listen, how much is it going to profit you to move somewhere for a job and to get a good job and to get the house and to get the money and to get the cars just for your children to die and go to the devil? Just for them to grow up in a church and to die and go to hell? I mean, listen, is it so strange that we would obey God and serve God and move somewhere for our spiritual good? Look back at what the Bible says. Thank you there. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and look down at verse number 1. I want you to notice something in this passage. The Bible says this in verse number 1. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. The chief was Ahiezer. I'm sorry, I'm bad with pronouncing names. Y'all have to forgive me here tonight. Let's skip on down. Let's get past some of these names. Let's go on down, verse number 8. Let's start right there. The Bible says in verse number 8, hey, I'm from the South. I'm supposed to be unlearned and uneducated, right? Look at what the Bible says there. We'll go down to verse number 8. The Bible says this, and of the Gadites, they were separated them. there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness of men of might and the men of war fit for the battle that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains, even the first, Obadiah, the second, Eliab, the third. Now let's stop reading there. What do we see here in this portion of passage is that we see men who are separating themselves unto David. They are men that are having to make a choice of where to go and who to support. In fact, let me say this here tonight. Let me go ahead and get on this here this evening. You know, you need to be loyal to your pastor. Amen. You know, if your pastor has to kick somebody out of the church, you need to be loyal to him, and it is the commandment of God. It is the commandment of the Word of God that if they were to kick somebody out of the church, you should not company with them, you should not eat them, because you're not doing them any kind of favors. Listen, the punishment that comes from God is that it's supposed to hurt them. You say, well, poor Tyler Baker. I mean, how many people have you seen out there? Poor Tyler Baker, and they want to have sympathy for him. Hey, he made his own bed, let him lie in it. Listen, if your pastor kicks somebody out of the church, you don't go have fellowship with that person, because the punishment is that they are kicked out of the church so that they have no fellowship. And if you go and you have fellowship with that person, you're taking away the punishment that God has ordained, and you're standing in the way of God. You're standing in the way of the will of God, because it is God's will that that person go through that, because the hopes is if they're saved, that number one, they'll get right, that they'll come back to God. Listen, when you spank your children, why do you do that? Do you want, is that punishment, that spanking, is it supposed to just be something light? I mean, it's supposed to hurt, isn't it? The Bible says, thou shalt beat him with a rod. Hey, that doesn't imply that you're just giving him a little slap on the leg. That doesn't imply that you're just doing something soft. No, the punishment is supposed to hurt, because it's going to drive the foolishness out of his heart. And the same is true spiritually, that when somebody is cast out of the church, that punishment is intended to hurt. And you say, well, Brother Joe, that's not loving. Oh, you want to bet? It sure is loving. It's not loving. It's supposed to be loving for this reason. Because if that person stays in the church and you don't punish that person, before long he's going to corrupt the flock. Before long the flock is going to be scattered. Before long the flock is going to be drawn away into all kinds of perverseness, into all kinds of sin. And when a pastor has to cast a man out of the church, it's not so much out of love for that person as it is for the congregation. For those who are left in the church. And if you go and have fellowship with that person, you are not standing behind your pastor. Right. You're not being loyal to your church. You're being loyal to that person. You're standing with that person. Whether you know it or not, you just made a choice of what side you're taking. And you're not siding with the church. You're not siding with the man of God. You're siding with the heretic is who you're siding with. You need to be careful that you don't touch the man of God. You see, this is something that used to be understood. I remember growing up and understanding this as a child. It used to be preached all the time. That you don't touch the man of God. It's not your place. The Bible says that you rebuke not an elder. You think about David when he's going throughout the wilderness, being hunted down by Saul, and he had opportunities to kill Saul, didn't he not? Yet he would not put his hand upon the Lord's anointed. You better fear God. You better let God take care of his men, because that's not your place. And listen, something that we see in our movement, I think something that could be a danger in our movement, is that if you go to any one of these churches here tonight, you know, you can grow in knowledge pretty quickly. Because these churches are preaching a lot of the Word of God. We're preaching lots amounts of the Word of God. And you can grow quickly in the Word of God if you get in church and you get engaged. But here's the danger. That a young man can come along and grow in some knowledge quickly, and then because he's gained some knowledge, he thinks that he's qualified to preach. He thinks that he's qualified to pastor, and he thinks that he's a better pastor than so-and-so who's been faithfully serving God for 25, 30 years. Let me help you with some. Why don't we just take a look at some of these men of God here tonight. Pastor Anderson, how long have you been saved?
30 years.
30 years. How long have you been in church? About 30 years. 36 years. He's been in church. He's been saved for 30 years. He's been in church for 36 years. Pastor Jimenez, how long have you been saved? 27 years. How about Pastor Manley? How long have you been saved, sir?
24 or 5 years.
How long?
24 or 25 years.
Are you seeing a pattern here? That these are men who have been saved for a long time. And I bet you this, that if we went and we looked at their lives and we examined their lives, that those 20, 25, 30 years that they've been saved, you know what they were doing in those years? They were serving God. They were faithful. And when the doors of the church were open, they were there. When the pastor needed help, they were there. When there was work to be done, they were there. When there was soul winning to be done, they were there. Listen, I'm probably the youngest pastor here tonight. I'm 29 years old, but you know how long I've been saved? I've been saved since I was 5 years old. Amen. I got saved at a young age. The first person I led to the Lord was when I was 7 years old, and since that time, I've been serving God. I've been in church, and if there was something to do at church, I was there. You know what you see with these men of God? That these are men who for years have been faithful to God. For years have been faithful to church. For years were faithful to their church and to their pastor. And they didn't go and try to rebuke the pastor. And because they were faithful to church, God saw fit to put them where they are. But you, because you've been saved a couple years and you've gained some knowledge, you think that that makes you qualified to be a pastor. Well, let me tell you something, that does not make you qualified to be a pastor. You need to be a man who's been found faithful. You want to be a pastor one day? Then you get in church, you obey the Word of God, you study the Word of God, you read the Word of God, and when the doors are open to the church house, you're there. When the soul needs ready to go, you're there. When there's work that needs to be done, when your pastor needs help, you're there. And when your pastor has to kick somebody out of the church, you back up the pastor. You don't stand against the pastor and go have fellowship with the heretic that was cast out of the church. You be loyal to the pastor and to the church. Choose your side. Choose which side you want to be on here tonight. You want to be on the Lord's side or you want to be against the Lord? Think about it. You start standing against these men of God and you've not chosen the side of God. You've chosen the side of the devil is who you have chosen. Look back at what the Bible says. Let's read a little bit more here. Look on back at what the Bible says. Go down to verse number 17. And the Bible says this, "And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, If ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it, then the Spirit came upon Amishai, who was a chief of the captains, and he said, Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be unto thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them what?
Captains
of the band. Hey, you want to be a captain of the band someday? Then be faithful. Then be a helper to the man of God. Then be there to be with him, to support him, to help them, to be behind them, to stand behind them. Be numbered with those that are ready to go to war. Listen, our churches here are the tips of the spears. And you know what the tip of that spear is, of each church? It's the pastor. You see, who's the one that goes out into battle and is going to have the most persecution against him? He's going to be the pastor. And that pastor needs your support. Now, is that pastor perfect? No, that pastor's not perfect. That pastor makes mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes as pastors. I've had to stand up in the pulpit and confess things that I taught wrong in the past and had to correct myself on things. And listen, a pastor is not perfect, but he's the man of God. And you don't touch the man of God. You be a helper to the man of God. And if one day you want to be a man of God, you first need to learn how to be a servant. You first need to learn how to be a helper. And if if you're a faithful helper in the Lord's work, then maybe one day God will see fit to make you captain of the band.
Right.
Maybe one day he'll seek to put you in a place where you're a pastor. And if you have that desire, this is the advice that I give you. You help the man of God. You do not touch him. You do not stand against him. Look back at what the Bible says. In fact, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and look at verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and look at verse number 3. And so what I want to encourage you here tonight again is to stand up and to be numbered with those that go to war and continue the fight. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and look down at verse number 3. The Bible says this, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 3, the Bible says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Do you see what the Bible tells you to do? Now let me ask you, do you believe the word of God or do you despise it? Are you going to accept the pleasant land or are you going to reject it? What does the Bible tell you to do with these kinds of men? It tells you to withdraw yourself. Men that suppose that gain is godliness, to withdraw thyself, the Bible says. You see, this is the commandment of God. Do you want the pleasant land or not? Do you want the blessings of God or not? Because I promise you, if you go against the man of God and you go make a choice to stand with the heretic, you will not be blessed of God, and you will rather have the curse of God upon you because you've despised the word of God. Look back at what the Bible says there. The Bible says this in verse number 6. Again, the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know what I want to encourage you here tonight? Is to keep fighting the fight. Yeah. Listen, we're a young group here tonight. Our movement is a young movement. We're just getting started. We're just getting some traction. And there are more and more people that are being separated unto our movement. But you know what? It could be pretty easy for the devil to come in and to sow some seeds of pride into some hearts and for our movement to self-implode. You know what? You need to keep fighting the fight, and you know who you need to follow? You need to follow the man of God. You say you don't know where the fight is. Well, follow that man. Follow this man that's sitting right there. They'll tell you where the fight is. They know where to point you. They know where to direct your sword. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Look back at what the Bible says. Let's go to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and look at verse number 11. A couple pages over. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look down at verse number 11. The Bible says this, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 11, because I want to promise you something. If you fight the good fight, if you choose your side and you choose to follow God and to obey God and to stand up, you're going to suffer some persecutions. Look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter number 11, look at verse number 10. Let's start there. The Bible says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. What's this word? Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. I promise you this. Look what the Bible says, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you stand up and you choose to do something for God, I promise you, you'll face some persecution. If you choose to move somewhere, to move to a church that's doing right, that's the tip of the spear, you know, your family's not going to understand. They're going to people that are going to persecute you. But you know what Jesus Christ said? And forgive me, I don't quite remember how to quote it. But Jesus Christ said this: there is not a man that have left houses or lands or brothers or sisters or father or mother who shall not receive an hundredfold. And I can give you the testimony tonight that I've gone through this. You see, I had to make a choice whether to obey God or not to obey God, whether to stand up or to sit down and shut up. And I chose to stand up to speak the word of God. But you know what? I went through some persecution. I lost some friends. The church that sent me out, that was my ordaining church, completely cut ties with me. I've lost out on many things in this world. But you know what? I've gained much more.
Amen.
I've gained many more friends than I ever had before. I've gained many more pastor friends than I ever had before. I have much more support than I ever had before. You know why? Because that's the promise of God. Listen, was it hard? Sure. And sure it'll be hard for you. And sure there'll be times when you go in your closet when nobody's looking, you just cry your eyes out to God and you plead to God and your heart is heavy and your heart is hurting. But I promise you, if you'll get through it and stand up and fight the faith and fight the good fight, God will be there for you, and His promises will bear true. That you will gain many more friends than you ever had before. You'll gain many more brethren than you ever had before. Because you know why? My brethren's not my blood. My brethren's not my flesh. These are my brethren. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. These are my fathers. These are my mothers. These are the people of God. Hey, my brothers in the flesh, they could die and go to hell. They're not going to be my brothers forever if they don't believe in Christ. But you know who will be my brother forever? Those who are sitting here in the church house. Those who are the people of God. Look back where the Bible says. Let's finish this out here tonight. The Bible says in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures. The beliefs that we hold, they're not based upon the commandments of men. They're not based upon the traditions of men. They're based upon the Word of God. And if I could encourage you in anything, it's to continue in the things which thou hast learned. Stay faithful in the Word of God. And listen, maybe you haven't made a choice yet tonight. That choice needs to be clear. You need to make that choice to serve God and be on the winning side. Let's end in a word of prayer here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in your word this evening. I ask that you be with Pastor Romero as he comes up and preaches next, that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.